Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and once again, I'm looking forward to being with you today on this, our Friday, Healing Day of Prayer. It's always so special, so rewarding, when we come together to pray for the intentions of our brothers and sisters. It is a blessing, especially when we see the fruit of those prayers being healed, huh? Now, a few weeks ago, we celebrated Good Shepherd Sunday. And the first line of Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That is such a beautiful psalm. That is just the first line of it. So today, when we pray for our intentions, we will pray through the loving, welcoming, healing arms of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And the Shepherd says to us, "I came so you might have life and have it to the full." The Shepherd wants you to know that that promise is for you. I came so you might have life and have it to the full. He longs to hold you in his arms. Now, today's program will be a little different than what I usually do. And after we pray for the intentions of our brothers and sisters, and they always come first, and I always say that, they always come first, we're going to share, I'm going to share something very special with you. It's a witness from someone that is so powerful, so incredible. Someone who had reached the lowest point in her life that she could not go any lower. From something that happened in her childhood and that came back on her later in her life to haunt her, to destroy her, to end her very existence. She was someone who had it all together. So you'd never expect this from someone who seemingly had it all. It's an amazing witness. And, you know, we live in such trying times, my friends, and you know that. Many of our brothers and sisters are suffering. And that's the word for today, suffering. Sometimes the pain is beyond their strength. And we hear them speak. We hear them say, "I just don't know what happened. I don't know what else to do. I don't know where to go. I can't handle this anymore. No one understands me. It's over." And that is why, my friends, you may be the only one who sees their struggle and offers your hand, your ear, and your heart to them. That is what happened in this woman's witness that I will later share with you. It is unbelievable. So now we're going to begin. We're going to begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are there for us to go to whenever we feel that no one else cares, in our darkest moments that never seem to end. Sometimes, Lord, it takes so long. We ask, "Are you there, Lord? Are you there? If not you, who?" Lord, on Good Shepherd Sunday, the words they read, the words the lector read, said that you called yourself the Good Shepherd, who goes after the lost sheep, the little lamb who is cold, lonely, broken, lost, that you leave the 99 in the flock, you leave them, and you come back for me, the lost lamb, for me. Just when my fears are so overwhelming, when my inner thoughts tell me it's over, you're not worthy to be found, you are lost forever. And when I start beating on myself with those thoughts, you hear my cry, Lord, in the dark. And when you come for me, you actually bend down to me and you lift me up in your arms. You bring me back to life. You tell me I belong to you and you have a whole new life awaiting me. Jesus Christ, the Lord, King, and Savior of the world, has come to save me when I thought it was all over. Forgive me, Lord. How can I ever thank you? Tell me, what can I do for you, Lord? And you gently say, my little one, do for others what I have just done for you, and you will never be alone again. You will never be lost. Amen and amen. My friends, I guess you know I've been talking about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd went out and about a little while ago, and here he is. I'm going to hold him up to you here. Let's see. Let's get this here. There he is. Is this beautiful or what? Is this so beautiful? Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Have you been looking at this picture? This is my favorite. Look at the lamb. Look at his eyelid. Looks like he's about to close his eyes, huh? Why? He's so peaceful. He's in the arms of Jesus, who loves him so much. He has no fear. He has no fear. And my friends, that's you. That's you in the Good Shepherd's arms. That's me. And look at the face on the shepherd. Look at Jesus. There's such a deep love, such a deep seriousness. He's in prayer as he holds that little lamb in his arms. I mean, there's so many things going on in the world. And he, at that moment, is so into that little lamb. And that is so with you. When you go to him with your intention, he's so into you with it. This is so, so beautiful. So I'm going to keep it here and hope nothing happens to it again. That's, you know why they have all these little things here? I don't know if we could just move them a little, but anyway, we'll keep him here. And I hope you can see him. I hope you can see that. And just tell him. Just tell him some of the things that are on your mind. Go to him. Tell him what we were talking about today, the fears we have, the suffering we're going through. Talk to him. You know, just do what you want. Just don't leave me. Don't we have so much more to go over with you? We have so much more to say. Now, we have our prayer intentions, okay? Now, we have a couple of beautiful updates on these, and that makes me happy. Okay, we're looking here at Paisley. Remember Paisley? We continue to pray for Paisley. She's that little five-month-old little girl. She had a heart transplant, 5 months. We have some good news about Paisley. She's now about a year and a half, I think, a year, a quarter, something in there. Now, if you recall, she went through a lot. She was unable to eat there in the hospital. She had a feeding tube in her. It presented so many problems for her. She had breathing issues. She was put on oxygen, blood transfusions, double ear infection, a stomach virus. And we continue to pray from this program and from all the programs here. We continue to pray. And we heard from Kimmy. Kimmy is a friend of the family. She's also a nurse. And Kimmy sent a couple of pictures of Paisley. And I saw them the other day. And she said, Paisley is doing great. That's wonderful news. She said Paisley's walking, talking, she's growing, and in that picture she was wearing a pretty dress. She was sitting at her table at home and she was drawing with a pen. There was also a photo of her walking outside with her little brother, Philip. They're very close, and that's great news. So we thank you, Kim. We pray for you and your family because you have a newborn in your family, little Josie. And we thank you for your kindness to Paisley's family. We're also praying now for Paisley's mother, Josephine. We said she has thyroid cancer, and it spread to her lymph nodes in her chest. So, Lord, we invoke you, O Good Shepherd, to hold Paisley's mother in your arms and do for her mother what you have done for Paisley. Increase the joy in that mother's heart. That baby went through so much, and she went through it with her baby. And now that she can rejoice, she gets this news. So, Lord, this is such an important time in her life. And we know nothing's impossible to you, Lord. And we're believing. We are going to just believe that she has a healing coming to her. Okay, thank you. We have Glenn here. We have an update on Glenn. If you recall, Glenn had a lump on one side of his neck. And when he went to the doctors, on the other side, there was also a lump. They were malignant. We prayed for Glenn as he went through his chemo and radiation treatments. At first, they were difficult, and he had a problem. They thought they would have to give him a feeding tube, but then he was able to eat and go back to work. We were waiting. Now, we were waiting to hear the results of his PT scan, his PET scan. We were waiting to hear from his wife, Carol. In fact, I'll just add that Carol's my first cousin. And Carol said, Glenn got great news. Again, thank you, Lord. That's wonderful. The PET scan was clear. So Glenn sent me some videos of his guitar playing. He is professional. He is great. And now you, Glenn, and Carol can both enjoy the professional cookies and raisin bread that Carol makes for many organizations. They're wonderful. And my friends, Carol and Glenn, are very appreciative of the prayers that you and our listening audience, the prayers you have said for them. We thank you, Lord, our good shepherd. You came to give Glenn life, to give him life to the full. And we will continue to pray for the next step in Glenn's journey. We're praying for Mary DeAngelis. She's a Third Order Franciscan. She has sent us numerous petitions. God bless her. And Mary fell. This was about a year and a half ago. She broke her hip and happened while she was changing the altar coverings. She's a very dedicated person. But she recuperated beautifully after surgery on her hip. But then when she was finally out and about, she was taking a friend to dinner, and she fell. She fell again while helping her friend. She broke her hip again. Now, this recovery took a little longer, but she again was going back to Mass. Now, during her checkup, the doctor said they saw a hardening of the skin near the liver. Some of it was soft and smooth. Other parts of it were hardened. So the doctor wanted to check. He wanted to have an MRI to check to make sure nothing is wrong. Now, the thing was, she was very concerned. She's been through so much. She said at her age, she doesn't know if she wants to go through all of this. You know, what's that expression, to go through that? You open a can of worms or something. And she doesn't know if she wanted to go through that. But then I was speaking to her yesterday, and she made a decision that the doctor is right. So God bless her for making that choice. She's going to go through with it, and that is just wonderful. In fact, her cousin is a doctor in Arizona, and she's going to speak with Mary's doctor, and that's wonderful. So anyway, I'm proud of you, Mary. I'm proud of you for making that decision. We're going to continue to pray for you that they look at this and they find nothing. That's what we're going to pray for. That will be our intention. Yes, so now we come to Landon. We continue to pray for our dear six-year-old Landon, who has struggled with cancer through three different treatment cycles from the age of three. Now, because of the length of this, the doctors say he will probably get childhood diabetes. This young man has been through so much. We said the cancer is now in his pancreas and other places. He's a very spiritual young man who loves the baby Jesus. Now, we heard yesterday from his Aunt Linda. She said he was tested after his last bout, and the doctors said the tests look okay. That's their words. They said the tests look okay. And they did leave the port in him because more tests have to be done in July. But we'll take that. He looks okay. He went through so much, and he looks okay. We're taking that, but we're going for more. We want to hear perfection here. So we intercede for Landon. We go to the young man who was just canonized, the saint at the age of 15, Saint Carlo Acutis. Many, many young people are being touched by this young saint. And we ask you, Saint Carlo, to present Landon to Jesus and intercede for his healing. Intercede. Landon's mother recently gave birth to a little girl. He loves his sister. He has two little sisters. And our prayer is that they can continue to grow up together. We pray to you, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Hold little Landon, your little lamb, in your arms. What a sweetheart he is. Pray that your power may go forth, filling his entire body with your healing power. We believe, Lord. We believe. Amen and amen. We're praying here for Ron and Tracy. Again, if you recall, do you see what's happening here? We're having some beautiful thank yous. We're seeing some good things happening with our prayers here. If you recall, Ron was diagnosed with a blockage around his heart, and he was going to go to New York to Mount Sinai Hospital for surgery. Now, I prayed for him with a first-class relic of St. Therese of the Child Jesus. And when he got to New York, he was tested before his surgery. The doctor was surprised. There was no blockage. The doctor couldn't believe it. He said he did go in before the surgery, and he said he continued up toward the heart, and he saw nothing there. Hallelujah. So I shared Ron's story on another one of our programs, that he was an answer to prayer. Now we pray for Ron's better half, Tracy. Tracy has a very serious kidney issues. She has lupus. She has advanced arthritis. They live in Clearwater, Florida, and Tracy is unable to go out into the sun. How difficult is that? Now, my brother is currently with them down there, and I told him to tell Tracy that we, our listeners here, and myself, we're going to pray for Tracy. She is such a sweet person. She speaks like a child. She has such a beautiful little voice. And we pray for wisdom for her doctors as they seek the best way to treat her, that they may find even a new way to treat her. And of course, we place her again in the arms of the Good Shepherd, where she will find love, peace, and the healing that the Lord desires to give her, the healing she needs most. Tracy, enjoy the peace that you will experience in the arms of the Good Shepherd. Just picture him holding you. We've gone to him today. This is Good Shepherd's Day. And that little lamb that I just showed the picture of is in peace. And we pray for your peace also. Praying for Elizabeth. We have a lot of prayers today, and that's what we're about. That's wonderful. Elizabeth is suffering with a kidney stone. Doctors performed surgery but couldn't remove the stone. They put a stent there, and she will now need another surgery in a few weeks. She's been having a rough time, and we pray the next surgery is successful. And Elizabeth's prayer, once the stone is removed, she says she prays that she never gets another stone again. And Elizabeth, we second that prayer for you. We pray that with your next surgery, the hands of the surgeon become the hands of the divine physician, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So we continue here. We have going to pray for a young man. His name is John Paul. Such a beautiful name, huh? He is in the hospital, and his mother asked for prayer. She said he is so out of it. He doesn't understand what he's going through, what he's doing. Apparently, there is a substance that is made from a tree in Southeast Asia. It is called Kratom. Kratom. Use your search engine, my friends, to find out what that's all about. Familiarize yourself with it. It's sold as a stimulant, but can be very addictive. And depending on how much of it is taken, it can cause a lot of problems, and I'm going to repeat some of them. Hallucinations, depression, liver damage, delusions, false beliefs, trouble breathing, tremors, seizures. I could go on and on. It affects the mind and the nervous system, and it can affect babies during pregnancy. Well, where did he get it? Apparently, he bought it at a gasoline station. Can you imagine? It can be bought in smoke shops, as a powder or capsule, in many places. So I come to you, Lord, for John Paul. He was named after, his mother told me, he was named after Pope St. John Paul II. That Pope loved young people. He loved young adults. He held those gatherings of thousands of young people all over the world. This has to be so offensive to him, and of course to the Lord, seeing the destruction that's going on in our young people. So I go to this great saint right now, St. John Paul II, who the Lord gave to us as shepherd of the world, to bind what is devastating to your young adults, Lord, and to bring this struggling young John Paul back to wholeness and back to his family. And I place this confused soul in the loving arms of you, Jesus, the good shepherd. In your arms, no evil can touch him or harm him. Jesus, in your protective arms, mothered by your blessed mother, whose seed, Jesus, crushes the head of the serpent. This is truly the serpent, this cracktum it's called. Be informed, parents out there. Be informed, everyone. This is demonic. Be informed. Go to your search engine. They also give you phone numbers you could call if you want to find out what to do about this, if you have someone who's suffering with it. Amen. Amen. We pray for Janet. Again, we have good news, another beautiful one. Good news, we have an answer to prayer. We prayed for Janet. She's such a giving servant. In our churches, she goes, she sings, she plays the piano, she writes songs, she's recording them. In fact, she wrote an entire mass for St. Rita of Cascia. Isn't that beautiful? We love St. Rita. Well, Janet had come down with ovarian cancer and has been through a very difficult time with the chemo, the radiation, and other treatments that she is having, that she's been given. So, again, you, my friends, we have been praying for Janet. And I saw Janet the other day at St. Rita's Shrine during their St. Rita's Novena. I saw Janet there. And it was also the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima. Janet told me this. Her last tests have shown that she is clear of the cancer. Hallelujah, Lord. She's clear. She looks wonderful. And we will keep praying for you, Janet. Lord, we thank you. You are so pleased with Janet and all that she has done for your people. The joy that we get from her. We also thank St. Rita, who is with Janet through this ordeal. And in God's time, the Lord will enable us to listen to that beautiful mass that she has written for St. Rita. I can't wait. Isn't that wonderful? That is so, so wonderful. My. So now let's see. I had promised you, I think I have it right here. When we began, I promised you that I had a witness to share with you that is so powerful, and at times it is difficult to listen to. The person I'm speaking about is Sheila Walsh. You may have heard of her. She's a marvelous Christian singer, author, speaker. She was the co-host of a national Christian television program. She has a radio show. She's a great personality, great sense of humor. You'd say, wow, she has it all. Well, she shared her story, and she said she grew up in Scotland. She had wonderful Christian parents. She adored her father. She said she was daddy's little girl. He sang, he told jokes, he was the life of the party. She said, to me, he was the most amazing man on earth. Well, one night, when she was 5 years old, she went to bed. The next morning, her life would never, never be the same again. Just like that. Her father had a massive brain aneurysm. He was paralyzed on his left side. He could speak no words. He made sounds, grunts and groans. He managed to survive, she said, when he came back from the hospital. He went from being a warm, funny dad to an angry, violent stranger. And he directed a lot of his anger toward her. She was only 5 years old. And she said, and these are her words. She said he would spit in her face. She said he would strongly pull her hair and hurt her. My friends, often a person in this state, when he lashes out at someone, it's usually the person who loves him the most, and she was the one who loved him the most. So sad. The man probably could not help himself with his illness. She said one day she was petting her dog and the dog started growling. She said her father came up behind her and she heard the dog growling and she turned and the father was about to hit her on the skull with a cane, with his cane. So she went, little as she was, and she pushed him away. She said he fell and he hit the ground very hard. She said he had to be taken away to what they called there. They called it a lunatic asylum. He had to go there, this good man. Huh? But she said he escaped. And the authorities went looking for him. And they found him in the river. And he was dead. He had taken his own life. She said she remembered the day her mother came home wearing a black dress and a black hat. Of course, it was probably the funeral she had come home from, huh? She said her mother removed all the photos of him and never spoke of him again. She said all that she knew at 5 years old, that she must have done something terrible to make her father hate her like that, or he saw something in her that he despised. And what made it even worse, people would say to her, "You're just like your dad." Well, they meant that she sang like him. She was funny, that's what they meant. But she interpreted it in a different way. She was a terrible person, she thought. She was bad. And of course, not so. She was a child. She didn't understand what was going on. Imagine the confusion and the fright in that little body. My friends, her father had been a Christian man. He was a deacon in his church. He committed suicide. She said that put a scarlet letter around the whole family. They had to leave town. Can you imagine? This beautiful family, this happens. He had to leave town. And he was buried in an unmarked grave because of the shame that had caused the family from his suicide. But she said when she was 11 years old, she said her mother told her that she had a heavenly father who loved her very much and that he would pour his mercy on her. His mercy was always there for her. And she said that word mercy had a profound effect on her. She's 11. Mercy had an effect on her. And it reminded me of our Divine Mercy devotion, St. Faustina, the power of the mercy of God. Well, my friends, she spent many years growing up, never to show or speak about anything like this. She refused to talk about it, and she never shared that part of her life. She said Christian ministry was the perfect hiding place for her. And we'll continue. We're going to take a little break now and wait till you hear what's coming. This is so powerful. God bless you.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many ways. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. And Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus the Word to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet speaking about Sheila Walsh. And she was saying that that part of her life, that bad part of her life, she said she just, as she grew into an adult, she never spoke of it. No one, people who didn't know it certainly didn't know about it, okay? And she said Christian ministry was a perfect hiding place because to everyone else, it looked like God put his hand of favor upon her life. But she said she was the same scared little girl. No one knew. Now, as an adult, she was a very successful singer, speaker, again, as I repeat, co-host of a major television show, her own radio show, great sense of humor. Also, she was a great interviewer, very professional interviewer with the guests that came on her program. But, she said, there was a rumble in her. There was a rumble like a distant volcano. It was getting louder and louder, and she knew something was coming. One day, she was interviewing someone on her show. And she asked that person, "How are you doing? How's your life going? What's happening?" And the person answered, and the person very innocently said to her, "Sheila, you know you're always talking to us. You're always asking us how we're doing. I'm going to ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing in your life?" Well, that was it. That was it, right on television. She broke down. She started crying. She said she thought to herself, "Face it, girl. This is it. It's over." She was so distraught, so out of it, that the staff came on. The staff came on to get her out, and they wanted to get her to the hospital. And she's saying, "No, no, no, be too shameful. Be too shameful." No, she kept saying, "I'll do it myself. I'll go to the hospital myself." Well, they had to get in. They had to let her go. She promised to go to the hospital. She went out. She got in her car. She headed to Virginia Beach. That's where the show was from. She headed to Virginia Beach. And she said she didn't know what she was doing. She got out of the car, took her shoes off. She walked knee deep into the water. She was determined to keep walking into the water. Only one thing stopped her. She said she thought of her mother. Her mother would be getting another terrible phone call telling her that someone she loved was gone. So Sheila turned around. She walked out of the water. She got back into her car. She pulled into the parking lot of the hospital, sobbing. She said, I don't even know how I got to that hospital. No idea. And of course, the medical team came out. They went to her. They were taking care of her, got her into the hospital. She was diagnosed with clinical depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. All from that rumbling, huh? From the age of five. She said, in her hospital room, she sat in a corner. She could hear nurses coming in and out, checking on me. She said, I never looked up. Well, it was about 3 a.m. Her door opened. Someone came in and just stood in front of me, she said. I looked up. He handed me something. It was a little stuffed animal. It was a little lamb. He put it in my hands, and he turned to leave. But when he got to the door, he turned around and he looked at me. And he said, Sheila, the shepherd knows where to find you. The shepherd knows where to find you. She said, I was in disbelief. He left. She said, the Lamb of God checked himself in with me that night in that room. The Lamb of God checked himself in with me. She said, I was in the hospital 1 month, and I never saw him again. She said, what a ray of hope into the darkest night of my life. The shepherd knows where to find me. That moment started me on my road to recovery. The shepherd found me. She said, when I was a little girl, my mother was a farm accountant. On their farm, they had a business there. Her mother kept the books for the lawyers and everything. She said, and I got to watch the little lambs being born. It was so beautiful to see. She said, but sometimes the mother lamb who gave birth would reject the newborn lamb. The shepherd would have to take the lamb home, take the little lamb home, or the little lamb would die, not just from hunger, but from a broken spirit. She said, these baby lambs are called bummer lambs. Bummer lambs. She said, the shepherd has to give the bummer lamb a warm bottle of milk. He has to hold the lamb up to his chest so the lamb can hear and feel his heartbeat, the shepherd's heartbeat, like the shepherd's his mother. And when the lamb is strong enough, the shepherd puts him back in the flock. And in the morning when the shepherd goes out, he calls to the sheep. He calls like this, sheep, 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 sheep. Sheep, sheep, and that's exactly what Sheila was doing. Sheep, sheep, sheep. And she said, the first one who runs to the shepherd is the bummer lamb, because the bummer lamb knows the voice of the shepherd who cared for him. How beautiful is that? My friends, do you hear scripture coming alive in Sheila's story? And she joyfully now says, I will be a bummer lamb till the day I die. And my friends, you and I can voice those same words when we know and believe, as she has, that we will always be under the protection, the love and care of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. The good shepherd knows where to find you. Let him find you. Well, Sheila's life has completely changed. She is singing, ministering like never before. She's recording, preaching, making appearances more powerfully than ever. And her witness and her performances have healed the lives of many, many people. So, my friends, this is our Friday, Healing Day of Prayer. And I say to you, whatever trauma you are going through, whatever rejection someone may have put you through, Whatever bullying has pulled you back from the life that God has called for you, whatever issues are pulling you down, your health, your job, your finances, your family, your addictions, your fears, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, there he is. The Good Shepherd wants to lift you up from feelings of despair. He wants to hold you up in his arms and feed you his unconditional love. Don't think you are lost. The shepherd knows where to find you. The shepherd knows where to find you. My friends, a few years back I was going up to Connecticut to give a concert, and when I heard Sheila's witness, I wanted to share it with the congregation that I was going to be with. And I wanted to make it special so that they would take something home with them. They would remember something from Sheila's witness. And you know when you go to an event and they say something, and when you leave, you go, oh, I forgot. There was something I wanted to remember and I forgot. I do that too, okay? Well, I wanted them to remember those lines. So what I did was, I happen to have a little lamb. I forgot to bring it, but my dad used to love to go to the auction, okay? He would come home with things, some were nice, some were not. But he came home one day with a bunch of toys, and one was a little lamb was the size of my hand. And what I did was I took that little lamb, I put it in my little garden, and it looked like a little lost lamb, and I took a picture of it, and this is what I did. Look at this. Can you see that? Can you see that? See that? And look what it says on the top. The shepherd knows where to find you. Is he adorable, that little lamb? He's my little buddy. I love him. Love him. Now, what happened was, because I was going to be on this radio, and some of you are watching on TV, I didn't know if you'd see that little thing. So just for today, I made it larger for you. Look at this. There he is, my little lamb. And the top says, the shepherd knows where to find you. Now, I'd like to bring all of this together, my friends. I'd like to bring it all together. I'd like to sing one of my songs, okay? It's called, Haven't I Taken You This Far? The Lord, the Good Shepherd, is talking to you. Listen to the words. I want to say a few of them from the middle of the song, which is called A Bridge, okay? Haven't I taken you this far? All the times that you wondered where you were and who you are. All the times that you fell apart while reaching for a star. Haven't I taken you this far? Look, see the clouds that you've come through, and you'll get through the ones that seem to lie ahead of you. And you'll know at your journey's end that I was there with you. Haven't I taken you this far? Now I'm going to ask Patrick there, our producer and engineer who puts up with me. He's wonderful. I'm going to ask him to play for you, Haven't I Taken You This Far?
Broken dreams, empty promises, pockets empty, what to do? Years of pain, hurting children, and you wonder, how did you get through? Broken dreams, empty promises, and I ask you, Lord, where are you? Where are you, Lord?
With the little lamb. It's you. It's you in his arms. Always remember that. I have to speak now. Sometimes not so easy, huh? Anyway, well, you know, my friends, Jesus is royalty. King of heaven and earth, yet he humbles himself and comes to us in the garb of a shepherd. Now, if you have ever been around sheep, I've been around sheep, but it was nice. I did a thing down there and with Mother Angelica down there. I did a few shows with her, and they were shearing the sheep at the time, so I was right there with them. I saw them. Now, the shepherd has many jobs, and when he's with the sheep, you will easily know why the shepherd is not wearing royal robes then, huh? He is ever mindful of the sheep, the lamb who is in trouble. His love for the lost is so awesome. Nothing distracts him from you. Nothing. The good shepherd, see, nothing distracts him. Look, his eyes are closed. He's in prayer. The world may be going crazy, and he's praying, holding that little shepherd, that little sheep. Anyway, he knows to remove any barrier, any danger to reach you. His mercy is endless, so forgiving that you cannot say to him, "Leave me, Lord. I am too weak. I am too dirty. I am disruptive. I cling to things that hurt me and things that hurt others." The shepherd knows where you are. But sometimes we have to remove the things that we place in his way. those things that enable us to keep hiding. I came that you might have life and have it to the full. The Good Shepherd knows where to find you. Let him find you. Now, we just got a few more prayer petitions, and that's wonderful. We've had a number of them today, and that's what we're all about, our Friday Healing Day of Prayer. It's wonderful, and we've had some results. You've heard them today, some results of those prayers, huh? Okay, we have Erica who called, and these are recent. We just got these. And Erica's praying for her brother William, that he wants, she's praying for him for saving knowledge. Saving knowledge, I'm sure she means to be saved with the Lord Jesus, because she's a very spiritual person, praying for her brother, and we pray for that. We're praying for your brother, Erica. She's praying for her pastor, a Dr. Wendell Mattson from Monumental Baptist Church. And she wants him to continue to preach the Word of God in and out of season. Well, Erica, it looks like you have great respect for him, for you to call and prepare for him, that you are blessed by him, and we are praying for that for you. And I'm sure Dr. Wendell Mattson will continue preaching the Word of God in and out of season, especially in these times. It's almost like it's not out of season. It's almost like he has to be ready all the time, huh? And I know he will be. Thank you for your prayer, and we pray for you, Erica. We know you've gone through a lot in your life also. We pray for you. Okay, we're praying for Janet. Janet lost her husband recently to Parkinson's disease. So sorry. They would have celebrated 60 years of marriage this year. Janet, I'm so sorry. I mean, 60 years is a long time. I'm sure they were beautiful years that you, 60, that you're celebrating this year. And I know it's painful for you, and it will be painful for a while, having lost him. But so beautiful that you had each other all those years. And you know his Parkinson's disease is gone. It's all over. I mean, he's completely healed. And I'm sure that pleases you. And he will pray for you. He can pray for you, Janet. And that's wonderful to have someone on the other side who can do that, huh? And on the anniversary, on the feast of your anniversary, sure, take some time for yourself. Do some thinking. Do some praying. But also, try, I don't know if you have family or so on, but do something for yourself also. Your husband would want that. He wants you to join the family with him, go out to dinner. He wants you to do that. I don't think he would want you to stay home and mull over the 60 years. I think he wants you to rejoice that you had those beautiful years together that Jesus gave you. God bless you, Janet. Let's see. We have, prayers for Patrick. That's not this Patrick here. Prayers for Patrick, who has neuropathy. And is in a nursing home. Neuropathy is very, very painful. My sister had neuropathy. She had a lot of things. She's with the Lord. I love her. I miss her. Patrick has neuropathy, and I just know that it's very painful just watching her. It's something that's so hard to care for. I know sometimes you see these ads for medications and things you could take, and people say still they're always in pain. So we pray for you, Patrick. We pray that the healing power of the Lord comes upon you. That's the greatest healing power. And he's holding you like he's holding this little lamb right here. And maybe I'm noticing his fingers are really into the flesh, the fur of that lamb. You see that? It's really into the flesh. And that, I'm praying for that for you, Patrick. That the Lord's hands are really into the flesh of your neuropathy. And that you may get some peace. You have some peace with that. God bless you. God bless you, Patrick. God bless you. Now, we have, I think that's it for the prayers. Let's see, we have, if we have any more of those prayers. There's one here. I'm going to pray Let me see. I want to get one here. And then the... Okay, I think I look for quiz. I think I don't want to miss anybody, and I think we had a lot of them. I think okay, here's one I'm going to pray for. It's very important to me. I'm going to pray for Franny and Madeline. Franny and Madeline, I am personally requesting this prayer. When I went to Kathleen McCarthy's Wake Up America dinner, our producer Patrick was there, and he said, "Come over to my table, Grace. I want to introduce you to someone." I went over to their table. And there was someone I hadn't seen in years, Franny McCormick. Franny McCormick, what a great surprise. You see, years back when I was about to begin the recording of my first Christian album, I booked the studio time, but I didn't have the money. I was praying for the funds to record. The date to record was only a couple of weeks away. So a friend called me over, and she called me and said, "What are you doing right now? Come over here." And I just come from a funeral. I wasn't in a great mood. "Now, come here, have a cup of coffee." So I went over, and I went for a cup of coffee, and there was a couple sitting there. They were sitting there, and I recognized them from the prayer meeting. It was Franny and Madeline McCormick. They are both blind. So my friend pulled out a cashier's check from her pocket, and it was in the amount that the recording would cost. I couldn't believe it. And the name of the cashier's check on the check was Franny and Madeline, the couple sitting at that table that I walked into. I couldn't believe it. So Joanne says to me, "They are paying for your recording, an album that I was about to do." I was numb. I couldn't speak. But Franny was picking up my vibes. I said he was blind. Picking up my vibes, and he said, "Grace, you don't want to take this check. I can tell." He said, "And you don't want to take it because we're blind." He said, "We're blind, but we can see. We want you to record this with this money. You must take it." And when I recorded the album, I wrote on the credits, "Thank you to Fran and Madeline McCormick for the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he never forgot that. And he reminded me of that at the dinner. "Remember the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? "Yeah, it was the check that you gave me." It was wonderful. Well, now I asked, "Where's Madeline?" And he said to me, he said that Madeline was going through a difficult time. I didn't want to hear that. And a very difficult time. Sad to hear that. She was always a very sharp woman. And we'll pray for her. I ask our listeners to pray for Madeline. And, he said she was having mentally losing it. And he even hated to say that. And I said we would certainly pray for her. What a great lady she was. She was a lot of fun. And anyway, I pray for all of you. I pray for all of you in that family. Franny, your daughter, Bridget. I pray for all of you. And Lord, I definitely will pray for her. Jesus, our good shepherd, you leave the 99. You go in search for the one who needs your protective, loving care. I see Madeline in your arms here, Lord, comforting her, giving her peace, telling her that she belongs to you, Lord. And you are so proud of her. She is your precious child, your precious little lamb. I pray for Franny. And I'm having, if you're listening, Franny, I'm having Patrick deliver to you not only that CD that you provided, but 5 that I recorded after that. You and Madeline started the ball rolling. I pray for you. God bless you. God bless all of you. And I will continue to pray for Madeline. God bless you. We are in the shepherd's protective care. Things will happen. God bless all of you who listen today. God bless all of you. Remember, the shepherd loves you.